I would like you to please open your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter number 37. Genesis chapter number 37, and I'm going to read from verse number 3. Like I said, this series is going to last a couple of weeks. It's titled Uncharted, but I'm going to be starting from the platform of your dream, and that's why I've titled today's message, It's a Dreamer's World. It's a dreamer's world. We're not going to spend much time talking about, you know, differences in terminology, how goals are different from dreams, how our purpose is different from, you know, our destiny and stuff like that. I just want us to focus on something that is going to be much more practical, that you are able to apply to your life and actually be able to move on in God's journey for your life. So we're going to make it really, really practical. And I just want you to hang on with me over the next couple of weeks, as I believe the Lord is going to make a shift to happen in your life and in your world. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter 37, and I'm going to read from verse number 3. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. Verse number 5, once again. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. It's a dreamer's world. Let us pray. Lord, as we go into your word this morning, we're so glad that we have this great privilege and opportunity to gather around your word again today. Therefore, Father, we ask that, Lord, your light will shine from heaven and that it will illuminate our heart. I pray that you anoint the ears and the hearts of your people, my brethren, that are watching us at this point in time, wherever they may be, that, Lord, you give them the hearing ears and understanding heart. I pray, Lord, that you anoint me and make my tongue to become like the pen of a ready writer, Lord. Let your word drop as rain this morning, and let it distill as the dew of the morning. Let this bring an empowerment into our heart. Let it bring encouragement. Let hope come alive again today. Let those dreams come alive today, again today. Let the hand of the Lord be upon us for good, such that at the end of this teaching, all of us will have a testimony that we have been transformed more and more to the image and the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise God. It's a dreamer's world. You know, every great accomplishment starts with a dream in the heart of a dreamer. A dream is given to a dreamer until it materializes into something that we can have contact with in reality. Every achievement, every great achievement in life, the cell phone you are holding started as a dream in the heart of somebody. The TV screen that you are having in your home started as a dream in the hearts of somebody. In the area of politics, the democracy that many nations practice around the world started as a dream in the heart of someone. If you go into the area of sociology, into the area of psychology, into the area of medicine, all of the things that you find there, they all started as a dream. A dream actually is that seed that over time becomes full-blown, and then it comes into reality. Every great achievement starts as a dream. Something happened in August 28, 1963. A civil rights leader, the person of Dr. Martin Luther King, you know, gave a speech. He had gathered about 250,000 civil rights people into a particular place, and he was going to deliver a speech. The speech was actually delivered at the steps of Lincoln Memorial. And he was so pumped up because he was actually making some reference to the fact that there had to be some end to racism in the United States. It had started from 100 years prior, 1863, when the Emancipation Proclamation was actually made, and millions, slaves were actually released, freed from slavery, and that was 100 years before. But he observed, and quoting him directly, that 100 years later, the Negro is still not free. 100 years later, the Negro is still not free. But towards the end of that speech, that's one of the greatest speeches that has ever been delivered, he kind of moved away from the prepared text and he started to speak just from his heart. And that happened as he started talking about his dream. I have a dream. I have a dream. That was actually prompted by somebody who was present with him at that time. His name was Mahalia Jackson. This was an African-American gospel singer. And while Dr. Martin Luther King was giving his speech, he shouted and he cried, "Martin, tell them about the dream. Tell them about the dream." And so Dr. Martin Luther King put aside his prepared text and he started talking about his dream. And you've probably heard about this greatest, one of the greatest speeches that has ever been given. And he started talking about, "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they are not going to be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream." And he went on and on. Now, that was a dream in the heart of somebody, but it took years for it to actually materialize. And that was why many people applauded the United States. As a matter of fact, so many people cried when they actually saw the 44th president being installed in 2009 in the person of President Barack Obama. Because that was actually kind of a culmination of the dream that somebody had had 46 years earlier. Of course, there had been several pulses of freedom that has been achieved by the people that Dr. Martin Luther King actually wanted to be fully freed, but it culminated, it was actually like at the zenith of his dream when Barack Obama, an African-American, became the president of the United States of America as the 44th president, and that was in 2009. And I had a dream. It started in the heart of somebody as a dream. What I'm saying, people of God, is that every great achievement, every great attainment always starts as a dream. Now, the question is this: what are dreams? What exactly do we mean when we talk about dreams? Now, I'll give you this simple definition, and I want you to hold on to it because it's going to actually, we're going to use it for the rest of this journey over this series. A dream is an inspiring picture of the desired future. I'll say that again. A dream is the inspiring picture of the desired future. I want you to keep that somewhere. It's the inspiring picture of the desired future. And we're going to be gleaning from the life of Joseph. Joseph had a dream, and then it actually materialized at some point and at some time. Now, but the dream that Joseph had is a little bit different from hers because what he had was a literal dream. In other words, he actually went to sleep and then he had a dream. But in our own case, like I said, dream is defined as the inspiring picture of the desired future. In other words, this is a dream that you have, not necessarily because you have gone to bed. As a matter of fact, you might go to bed and sleep for days and not have this kind of dream that we're talking about. So this dream is actually not just the literal dream, but it actually takes its source. And there are certain things that we're going to glean from the source of the dream, from the literal dream that is applicable to the dream that we're talking about. Now, the source of the dream is so, so important. Why? Because the source of a dream actually says a lot about the credibility of it. It says a lot about the believability of it. In other words, is this believable? It says a lot about the achievability, the confidence that you have that is going to be achievable and is going to actually materialize is a function of the source that the dream actually came from. And that's so important. Now, let's start from the literal perspective. Now, generally speaking, there are three main sources of every dream that we have, literally. There may be others, but let's stick with these three most important sources of your dream. Now, because it's so important we're talking about this, because every great thing that the Lord is going to do in your life and in my life, more often than not, will start like as a dream in your heart. It's going to start as a dream. In your the things that the Lord is going to do in your future and in your life will start as a dream in your heart. The things that the Lord is going to do in your marriage, for instance, will start as a dream in your heart. The things that the Lord is going to do in your business, in your career, is going to always start as a dream in your heart. So this is not something that you can just jettison and just put aside on one side and say, let's move on. By the way, somebody is asking the question, Pastor, why are you talking about dreams at this point in time? You know, if there is any time to talk about dreams, it's not now. We're just coming out of, there is COVID-19 around, there is debt, there is devastation, businesses are down, you know, the economy is down, things are dark and gloomy. So why are you now talking about dreams? May I submit to you on the platform of God's word that there is probably no better time to talk about dream and to actually activate God's given dream in your life than now. You know, at this very dark, difficult, challenging time, is actually the time to begin to lean on your dream and begin to see how the Lord will walk with you through this situation into the brighter side. As a matter of fact, every bad time that has been experienced by people have always been overcome because somebody or some people have a dream. Dreams are given actually to overcome bad times. In fact, the truth of the matter is you need a dream right now from God right now to inspire you out of this bad time than you have ever believed. You know, so it is important that dreams are activated. Your dreams are activated in a bad time like this. And like I submitted to you, I would like to submit to you that you actually need one now at this very critical, challenging time than you probably have ever needed it. Now, I haven't said that because the dream that we're going to be seeing, Joseph, for instance, was given a dream at a bad time. You know, if you want to look at the situation and the circumstances surrounding Joseph, it was really bad. He came from a polygamous home, you know, and that has its own chaos. For some of you that have come from such home or that are no people that have come from such setting, you know that polygamy is not the easiest thing to deal with. And apart from that, he actually grew up in the midst of people who hated him. Who hated his God, as they would say. And that was these were his brothers, but they hated him with passion. As a matter of fact, they conspired to sell. In fact, they wanted to kill him, but for the intervention of his brother, Reuben, who said, no, don't let's kill him. Let's make some good, cool money out of this guy. So it was in the context of that chaotic environment that is fueled by the favoritism placed upon him by his father that actually the Lord gave Joseph his dream. Now, what I'm saying to you, people of God, is that bad times are not necessarily bad times are not necessarily periods that you really don't think about dreams or about dreams from God. As a matter of fact, you need to have a dream from God within bad times, because that is what's going to guarantee your future. It's what's going to sustain you in the bad time, and it's going to be what is going to connect you with a glorious, a much more beautiful future. But let's backtrack a little. I was trying to say that the source of your dream is actually what gives it credibility. It's what gives it the sense of believability. It's what makes us know and have confidence in the fact that what you have as a picture in your heart is actually going to materialize, the source of it. Now, let's go literal first, and then we'll bring it into our own experience and apply it. There are three main sources that you get your dreams. Believe me, these are the main sources that we get our dreams, and I'm talking about literal dreams. The first source is you. You are a good generator of dreams. Dreams may actually be a product of your imagination, you know, of your imagination, of the things you're thinking or you're experiencing, and that will get packaged so that when you lay down at night, it's going to be replayed as a dream. You know, look at what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah chapter 29, and I want you to look at verse number 8. It says this, Isaiah 29, 8. It says, "It shall even be as when a hungry man dreams. And look, he eats." Did you see that? The guy is hungry. He goes to bed. And look, he eats. But he awakes and his soul is still empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreams. And look, he drinks. But he awakes and indeed is faint. Now, what that passage is talking about is the fact that man has this ability to incorporate his own experiences and imagination, package them, and actually they will replay as a dream. This guy is hungry, so when he goes to bed, he wasn't thinking about anything flashy. He was thinking about food. So when he went to bed, he actually started to dream about food. And he says it's like a thirsty man. He goes to bed, he dreams. What does it dream about? It doesn't dream about, you know, going into some places to have a vacation. It doesn't dream about, you know, getting a job in a big company. It dreams about drinking, because that's part of his imagination. So there is the source of a dream could actually come from you as a person. But that's not the one we want to talk about now. And I will tell you the reason why that is not the one that we're supposed to be focusing our attention on. This is not the dream we're talking about here. Now, there is the second side of dream, the second source of dream is from the devil or from the demonic world. The devil does give people dreams, you know. These are frightening dreams. These are unpleasant dreams. Sometimes we refer to them as nightmares or night terrors because they frighten us. And some of us are actually experiencing certain dreams, and I'm not just talking about literal now, I'm talking about the picture in our heart about the future is frightening. You know, it's terrifying because the devil manufactures certain pictures and put them in our hearts such that we begin to see a gloomy, dark, confused future. And that's the second aspect. As a matter of fact, the Bible talks about certain prophets who were relaying dreams that were not necessarily from God. In Jeremiah chapter 23, they were dreams that were not from God. They were actually from the demonic world. But the prophets came and they were saying to people, "I have a dream," and they were relating those dreams. And it was causing confusion because the source was never from God. Don't forget, according to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, the Bible talks about the devil coming across as the angel of light. So we're not just talking about a situation where the devil comes with some frightening dream in the literal sense to you. We're also talking about a situation where it could actually come with something that looks appealing, something that looks good, but because the source is from the devil, is actually to deceive you. So we're not just talking about dream that frightens. We're saying that if the source is from the devil, it may not even frighten you, but it may actually be deceitful in the sense that it's going to lead to an error, because it will have succeeded in deceiving the person that is involved. And that's why the Bible talks about testing all spirit. 1 John chapter number 4, verse 1. It says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test every spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." 1 John chapter number 4, verse 1. So you need to test all spirit, because there are certain dreams that actually emanate from the demonic world that comes across to us. And because they are good, they are beautiful, they look pleasant, we get caught up in that and we are deceived and we are led astray. But that's not the one that we're talking about again today and in subsequent times of this series. The one we're talking about is the third kind of dream that has its source in God. And we have several examples of people that have a dream from God. And I'm talking in literal sense now. In Genesis chapter 20, we see Abimelech having a dream from God. In Genesis chapter 41, we saw Pharaoh having a dream from God. In Daniel chapter number 4, we saw Nebuchadnezzar having a dream from God. We also saw Daniel having a dream from God. These were dreams that came from God. And in his infinite mercy and grace, they were not just dreams that were given to good people. Pharaoh, for instance, at that point in time was not a great person, and Nebuchadnezzar was not. But in his infinite mercy, he showed them dreams. And so he brings dreams across to people in the literal sense, so the source may actually be from God. So we have talked about three set of sources now. You. Yes, I mean, you can actually manufacture dreams, no? And then the demonic world, and of course, God. Now, the one we're focusing more on, and in subsequent part of this series, is the one that emanates from God. And I'm going to tell you the reason why in a short while. Now, the inspiring picture of the desired future, that's what a dream is. A dream is the inspiring picture of a desired future. I want you to note that the dream is an inspiring picture of a desired future. Now, so it is this. It is a future that you desire, right? Good. It is a future you desire, but for the picture to be realizable, it must have emanated from a source that has the power to bring it about. I will say that again. We have established that a dream is the inspiring picture of a desired future, right? That future is desired by you. The future is desired by you. But for the picture, which is actually the seed that actually started the cascade of events that will bring about a glorious future, for that picture to be realizable, it must have come from a source that has the ability to bring it about. And I can tell you for free, that source cannot be you. That source can't be you. Because if you are the source, there is no way you have the capacity to bring it about on your own. You've captured something. You may capture the most glorious things, but you don't have, as the source, you don't have the capacity to bring it about. So the dream we're talking about is a desired future, a future that is desired by you, but that for it to be realizable, it must have emanated from a source that has got the power and the ability to bring it about. And that's why it is important that you don't just have a picture in your heart. It must be a picture that must have emanated from God. Let me give you a good example. When Jesus was going to go and this time he had resurrected and he gathered his disciples and he was having a conversation with them. Acts chapter number 1 from verse number 6. They asked him this question. So when are you going to restore the kingdom unto Israel? That was the picture they've got in their heart. You know, they had actually thought that Jesus, being the Messiah, had come to liberate them from the Roman rule. And so Jesus was going to go to heaven now, but they were scratching their head and saying, look, at what point in time are you going to actually bring about this glorious future that we have actually always had the picture in our heart? But Jesus, you know, sometimes when Jesus will answer certain questions, you will think maybe he does not really understand the question. but he does understand the question. He gives, you know, one thing I've realized about the Master, Jesus, is that he gives answers to the questions that you ought to be asking. Sometimes he does not give answers to the question you are asking. He gives answers to the question that you ought to be asking. And that's what happened in Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 6. They were asking when Jesus was going to return, when is the kingdom going to be returned to Israel. And he says, it's not in you to know the times and the season, but you shall receive power. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Because the kingdom that Jesus had come to do and to build is different from the kingdom that these guys were talking about. And for that kingdom to come about, you need power. Exactly the same way you need power to bring this picture of this dream into reality, the same way you need power to bring this kingdom to be amidst his people. And that's what Jesus focused upon. You will receive power. Now, if you compare the question to the answer, there seems to be no link, because Jesus was answering a question they ought to be asking. Okay, now, having said that, what I'm trying to say is that this beautiful future that we're talking about is the future that you desire, a beautiful future that you desire regarding your marriage. You want some peace, some stability, some progress, a beautiful picture that you've, a future that you've got for your children. You want them to be settled. You want them to be great. You want them to amount to something. You've got this beautiful future that you have desired regarding your business, okay, regarding your health. Now, for all those to come about, the picture must actually have been implanted by a person. The source of which, by a source that has the power to bring it about. And that's why it is important that you don't just have a desired future, you must have actually acquired the picture from the source, God in this instance, who is able to bring it about. And that's why this beautiful scripture in Psalm chapter 37 kind of gives us a good grasp of exactly what the Bible is talking about when it talks about the picture and the future. Now, stop. Let me say this before we go on. In the last 20, 30 years, let me just say in the 80s and the 90s, there was a massive wave, a move of the teaching about dreams and visions and purpose. And that's in my opinion, it's actually a great thing because the purpose of it was that it is meant to create a desire in all of us to be interested in what God's opinion for our life is. The teachings about dreams, about your vision, you need a dream from God, you need to fulfill purpose. They were supposed to actually create a hunger in us to find out the opinion of God concerning our lives, and that's so great. But what I discovered, as someone who grew up in the church in the period I've just mentioned, was that at that point in time, people were thrown into panic and frenzy because everyone was searching for what's God's dream for my life, what's my purpose in life. And at the end of the day, many people actually missed the reason for that wave of teaching within the church. And sadly, some people are still missing it today. Because after some years, some people gave it up and said that this teaching, they don't really make sense. I mean, because I've been searching for years and years, I've not found my dreams, I've not found my purpose in life. I don't have a clarity of any vision. These things are just motivational speaking. They actually have no place in reality. You're wrong. You're very wrong. You know, because the truth of the matter is that those teachings were supposed to achieve something. And of course, in some people, it did achieve it. But in case you were not around at that time, or in case you have missed that wave, or in case you were born after that wave of teaching has come, I believe that's the reason why the Lord is bringing this across your way. Because the beautiful future that he has in stock for you can only be achieved when you have captured, as it were, the picture that emanated from him. And the reason why it has to emanate from him is because he is the only one that has the power to be able to support the picture until it comes into reality. It's almost like you have just captured something on your camera and you go and you go and print it out somewhere, you know. It requires some technology to bring that about, you know, to print it out and then paste it on the walls in your house and stuff like that. You have a picture. You know, oftentimes when we want to go on, on some kind of vacation, we will search around and find out where we're going, the location, and of course we'll check for the hotel, the accommodation that we're going to be lodging. And that way we have an idea of where we're going, the things that are going to happen there, the setting of the room. You can actually have a figure of where you're going to be staying before you actually leave your home, you know. And that gives you a picture. And you begin to, you know, as it were, salivate, you know, to use that expression, ahead of time. You begin to savor, you know, that experience before it comes. And then all of a sudden, and maybe after 3 months or 6 months or whatever, you're going to now go into this new place, you know, and then you find out, oh, yeah, it is actually like I saw it. Of course, you feel disappointed if things are not exactly the way you had seen them, you know, in your heart by the reason of, you know, just checking things in the internet. Exactly the same way. That dream is a picture. It's only a picture. It does not do anyone good until it actually comes into reality. The dream regarding your future, the dream regarding your marriage, the dream regarding the life of your children, the dream regarding your business, the dream regarding your career, the dream regarding your relationships, it does no one no good except if they actually come into reality. And there needs to be a power that drives the picture into reality, and that power can't be from you. It does have to be from God. What we're saying in essence is this: it is not just enough to have a desired future. It is important that that desired future is a product of a picture, not that you generated, you know, but that God generated and then implants it in your heart. Look at what the Bible says in Psalm chapter 37, because you need to know, okay, now you've talked about it, Pastor, this picture does not have to come from me. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. And that's why many people got it wrong, because they were chasing, as it were, a dream, and they thought they actually were to be the generator of those dreams. Rather, it is God that generates those dreams, and we're going to see that in a short while. Psalm chapter 37, look at what it says. And verse number 4. So this answers the question. So how do I connect with that picture? How do I, as it were, receive that picture from the real source, the good source, the great source? It says this, Psalm 37, verse number 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. What's that saying? That you desire anything, you come to God, he gives it to you? No, that's not what he's saying. The place to start is a place of taking delight in the Lord. Another translation says this way. It says, to delight actually means to take great pleasure or joy in something or someone. To delight means to take great pleasure or joy in something or someone. It also means to desire immense satisfaction in something or someone. To derive immense satisfaction in something or someone. So that's literally saying that derive immense satisfaction in the Lord, or take great pleasure or joy in the Lord. And the word "and" means this is going to be the consequence. And he shall give you the desires of your heart. Another translation says it this way: enjoy serving the Lord and he will give you what you want. Now, this is what I need you to pay attention to, this, because if you miss this, you've missed everything that we've been talking about. Now, the dream that is going to be realizable ought to come from one source, and that's God. Now, for you to have access to that dream, you have to take delight in the Lord. Now, it is when you take delight in him. To take delight in means to find pleasure in being with him, to desire satisfaction, immense satisfaction in him or in someone. So when you have that immense satisfaction in the Lord, then in the process of that, God, he, and this is going to happen. It's almost like it's sure, you know. And he will give you the desires of your heart. In other words, crying about receiving dreams from God is you have missed the mark, you know. Weeping about it, begging God. You don't even have to beg God for it, you know, because he's more interested, he's more eager to give you a dream for your life, to give you a dream for your home, to give you a dream for your business. He's more eager to do so than you are actually eager to know. Why? Because he actually wants you to fulfill that plan that he has in store for your life. So giving you a dream is something he wants to do. But he only wants to do it after you have taken delight and pleasure in him. Somebody say, what's delight? What's pleasure? I mean, some of you have been in love before. you know what it means to be in love, you know. I remember in our uni days, you know, my wife and myself, we went to the same university, and she was studying engineering. I was studying medicine. And then rather than sitting down and studying our books, you know, in the evening, I would walk down to our hostel, which was a few hundreds of meters from my own hostel. And then we would take a walk to hers and back to mine and back to hers and back to mine. Doing what? Doing nothing. Just talking. Talking about what? Nothing important, you know. But it is that satisfaction, that delight of wanting to be with her. That's exactly what happens. That's what God is asking you to do. Just take pleasure in me. Let me simplify it so that you can get the picture. You know, what do you do to receive a dream from God? Seek him, love him, serve him. I'll say that again. Seek him, love him, serve him. Love to be with him. And while you are with him, just be sensitive, because he is bound by covenant to drop that dream in your heart. So all this running around helter-skelter seeking dream is waste of time. It's waste of time because he is eager to give you a dream, but he wants to give you a dream on the platform of an established relationship, of an established fellowship, of an established, you know, a deep fellowship. And it is in the context of that he's going to give you a dream. I don't know, for some of you that are married, that sometimes you're just in this mode of, you know, you are so much in love and you're just having this heart-to-heart chat with your husband or with your wife or the person that you're in love with. And you say something you never even planned to say, you know. I'm not suggesting that God just dropped something in your heart because he doesn't want to say it. He wasn't planning to say it. I'm saying that when your fellowship is actually, even at the human level, you drop something in the heart of the other person, it just flows naturally. That's exactly what happens regarding your dream. Your dream for the future is great. It's in the hand of one person, the Lord, and he wants to drop it in your heart on the platform of an established fellowship with him. And if you will get closer to him, if you will seek him, if you will love him, if you will serve him and be sensitive, you would realize that your dream is going to be dropped in your heart regarding any aspect of your life. What am I saying in essence? Don't seek dreams, seek him. All right. Don't seek dreams, seek him, because he will give you your dream. And so he will drop in your heart the inspiring picture for a desired future in the context of you seeking him, of you loving him, of you serving him. He says, God is just saying, delight in him, in me, and I will give you your dream. Just delight in me, and I will give you your dream. Why does he want it to take place within the context of you delighting in him? Because the fulfillment of it, the materialization of it, the bringing it to pass is going to reside in him. You know, that's what the Bible says, Acts chapter 17, verse 28. In him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. So he doesn't want to give you something that he is not going to be around to be able to execute, because on your own you can't. The Bible says, without me, you can do nothing, zero. Okay, so he wants to give you a dream within the context of an established fellowship, such that he will be around to supervise it unto fruition. That's exactly what happens. You know, somebody say, but why don't God just give it to me all the same? You know, I don't have to go into all of this loving him, serving him, taking pleasure in him, deriving satisfaction in him, you know, and being sensitive to him. Just give me the dream and let me run it with my guy, you know. You know, it does not work that way. And you know why? Because if the Lord gives you a dream that he is not around to supervise within the context of fellowship, it will destroy you. It will destroy you. You know, that's exactly what happens in Luke chapter 15. And I'm going to close on that. Turn with me to Luke chapter number 15. And we see the example of the person we talk about as a prodigal son. Luke chapter 15. Look at verse 11. Then he said, a certain man had two sons. Then he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of good that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. Verse 13, and not I want you to pay attention to this. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possession with prodigal living. This is what happens when you hand over something of great eternal value to the hand of a son or a daughter that does not take pleasure in you. Not many days after, he will walk away. Now, God does not want to lose you. And so he will make sure that he waits until you are able to come to your senses or come to a platform where you begin to take pleasure in him, you delight yourself in him, in seeking him, in loving him, in serving him, and in being waiting patiently to receive, being sensitive to his voice before he gives it to you. Because if he does give it to you without having that established platform of fellowship, you will mess up. And he doesn't want that. And that's why he says, you delight yourself in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. You know why? Because in the process of you taking delight in him, the desire of your heart is no longer going to be these fleshly, lowly desires anymore. There will have been a sharpening of your heart such that your desire is now going to be mirroring, as it were, the desire of God. And so he is bound by covenant because your desire actually sync with his desire by the reason of your fellowship in seeking him, loving him, serving him. Then he's going to be able to release all the powers of heaven and of earth to back the picture in your heart because he has put it there, and that it mirrors exactly what he has in mind for your life. And that's why he says he's going to grant you the desires of your heart. It's not the chaotic, confusing desire of your heart that you've got before you are actually having an exposure to the light of God that comes through fellowship, because that's going to destroy you. Not many days after, this boy moved away. And of course, we know how he ended until he came back home. God wants to give you a dream. A great dream, for that matter. Because it's a dreamer's world. And your tomorrow is linked with the picture that he puts in your heart. Only that, you need to get that picture in the process of fellowship. Loving him, serving him, seeking him. It is well with you. Let us pray.